Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
If you want to open your Bible, we can go to 2 Corinthians 6 verse 11. 2 Corinthians 6 from verse 11. There. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and our heart is wide open. Next verse. All right. He said that you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. That's Paul speaking. He says, in return, I speak to you as children, widen your hearts also. Verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. And as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. And touch no unclean thing. Then I will come to you. And I will be a father to you. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. Come on. It says that we can be restricted in our walk with God by our own affections. That's what we have here. We can be restricted. Sometimes we restrict the discipleship process when our hearts are restricted, it says, by outside influences. Paul comes to a place where they are converted and there's a church established and things, and it says, hey, my heart is wide open to walk with you. I've been working with you as Corinthians. And he desired to help them grow in their walk with God and what they are doing. But he sensed a restriction in the relationship and he could not disciple them with openness as he should. And he says, the thing that's restricting you, you know, when there's restrictions in our lives, it prevents them from being open to the fullness of that discipleship, that process. And he says, you are not restricted by us. We come in fullness. We come in freedom. But you're restricted by your own affections. Come on. And in return, I speak to you, widen your hearts also. You are restricted not by us, by your own affections. The King James says, you are not straitened in us, but you are strengthened in your own bowels. We spoke this morning on Proverbs 20 that says, the spirit of man is the lamp of God who searches the innermost parts. That part where the spirit comes and where he says that he's given us his spirit. And there where the spirit moves. There where he says that he's looking for a dwelling place and a chamber where he can come and he can sit inside. And now he says that, hey, your bowels is where you feel things, isn't it? How many times you say, I've got a gut feeling? You don't really know. Gut feeling, we feel our affections in our gut, isn't it? When you're usually stressed or upset, where do you feel it? In your gut. Most people get tummy problems. It's the place where it manifests. And the very first thing usually that develops, because the man says, Proverbs 23 says, what, 7? For as he thinks in his heart, so he may become. So he says that, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The first two things that develop when conception takes place is what? The brain and the gut brain. There's a link between the condition of your heart and your thinking and your gut, your innermost parts. God says there in the morning, we said that's where God says that he comes. God is the lamp. Proverbs 20 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of God. Psalms has got a scripture. It says, it is God who lights my lamp. So God ignites. He says that, do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? That's 2 Corinthians 3, all right? But he says this as well, ne? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God. And God said, I'll make my dwelling among them and walk among them. From the very beginning, God's heart and desire was that you are a dwelling place for God. That's when, in because of Adam and Eve, when he made him, he says that he blew his breath, his presence into them, and they became a living being. Come on. So you are a temple of the living God, a dwelling place for God. And he says that but what restricts us sometimes of things in our lives is that what we have in our own affections and in our own emotions, in our bowels. As a man thinks, so he is. Proverbs 23:7 says, as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says, but his heart is not with thee. The ESV says this, for he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says, but his heart is not with thee. You see, heart and spirit is used interchangeable. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Come on. It speaks of a heart condition inwardly. So if you want to see God, what is the condition of your heart? Proverbs 20:27, here it is. The spirit of man, let me touch on it again, is the lamp of God, searching his innermost parts. Searching means to seek God. Inward parts speaks again of an apartment, a chamber, a bedroom or a dwelling place. What did we deal with this morning? This morning we spoke on that the bridegroom for Pentecost, part of the betrothal process was that the bridegroom will go away and prepare a place. And then he will come back to the wedding chamber where there will be intimate. Where is your deepest thoughts, your most intimate thoughts? The inward parts, isn't it? In your belly, in the womb there, where it says, the belly is the womb, the bosom, where things are conceived. So what is it that you give birth to in your life? What is the condition of your life? What's happening? And then you need to look at, what am I harboring here? Am I restricted by things? What am I allowing? What do I give birth to? Because we give birth to things in the spirit, and then it manifests in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 to 16. We can get that as well. 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 16 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he is himself to be judged by no one. Who has understood the mind of the Lord to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. According to Romans, we need to renew our thinking the whole time, isn't it? Renew our thinking. We need to renew our hearts, because the mind and the heart, he says, is interchangeable. So when he says renew your thinking, he says renew your heart. Renew your heart. What's the condition of your heart? If you want to experience the good and perfect will of God, you have to renew your thinking. You have to renew your mind to understand what is the will of God. Because giving birth to wrong things, you give birth to the wrong things, that baby is going to demand attention. That baby is going to demand that you give affection to that thing. We have wrong affections, and then he says, you get restricted by your own affections. That's what happens, is we're starting to get restricted by what God wants to do. You see, your belief system becomes the invisible force that drives your behavior in your life. That's the thing that drives you. And now he says, but you're struggling because you become restricted by your affections. It's in a thought life, that place, that you literally empower darkness to do exactly that what you have believed. But come on, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Amen. That's why we have Pentecost. The gift of the Holy Spirit was given to us. And he says that's we sang it just now. James 4:5 says, do you not suppose it's to no purpose that scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? God has given us. You all carry something. Come on. Tell your neighbor, you carry something. You carry something. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? It's not just to come, it's a helper, the comforter, the one who leads us. All these things, part of what it speaks about Jesus as the shepherd that hooks us and draws us to Him. When there was a sound, it was the sound of God, and their spirits resonated. Their spirits reacted because it's something that they actually, from the beginning, know, the sound of God. We dealt a bit with it. The sound of God in the garden, Kulei, was the same as when the thunder and the lightning came, when the pouring of the Holy Spirit come, the languages of fire. Same sound, same thing in the spirit that resonated and then activated something and they responded. You see, you carry something, but what do? We're sometimes not aware of what we carry. We're sometimes not aware of what God has given us. And Peter started to realize this, that what he have carried. Come on. Remember the beggar and the lame man who was sitting at the temple begging, and he comes to him and he says, "Gold and silver I do not have, but that what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus." And he grabbed his hand and he says, "In the name of Jesus, rise. Be healed." Come on. He started to understand what he had. And it became such a significant part of the community's life. It wasn't doctrine. It was through observation, because the Spirit of God was on people. Because they received the promise. I sat down with Vivant yesterday as well again, and I said to him, this is the promise in the book of Joel that he prophesied. And then after the outpouring, when they say, these people are drunk, Peter rises up and he says, we are not drunk. They are not drunk. This is what Joel prophesied. This is the prophecy that he will pour his spirit out on all flesh. Come on. And he says that there came a boldness. And Peter started to do certain things because of the empowering of the Holy Spirit. You see, but you cannot live a power of the Holy Spirit unless there was a death and a resurrection. One amen. There needs to be a death and a resurrection. You see, you need to come to the altar where you lay yourself down so that God can come and answer with fire. His Spirit, what did He say? Because I asked Vaughn, and he says, like, there's three baptisms. I was like, okay, tell me. He's like, there's water, there's like Spirit, and I said, like, fire. Yeah, fire. He says, fire. And I said, what does the Bible say? What did John say? He comes after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit and with fire. So he wanted to understand, what's the fire? How does it work? But stories passed the communities, and I started to see that the men of God, when they move, something happens because of what they carry. We all carry something. You need to become aware of what God has given you. Remember this morning, Matan, the gift that He has sent us. Pentecost was about the gift. Jesus says, go and wait for the promise. Tarry, wait. What does tarry mean? To wait. We want it now, isn't it? We so desperately we want it now. We sometimes struggle to learn to wait upon the Lord. You know what's beautiful? That scripture in the word that speaks of those who wait upon the Lord will be renewed, or you will rise up as eagles. All right? But that word wait is actually the word that's the process of weaving together. The process of making, like a making of a rope when you weave it together, or twine, or, you know, flech. That process is the word wait. So as you wait upon the Lord, you are weaved or woven in together with Him. And then that stranded cord is not easily broken when you bound, when you become one with Him. You see, but so many times we allow things to overshadow us. They say, get Peter or get the people in the road because of Peter's shadow, isn't it? That falls on them. And when this shadow falls on them, they are healed. Shadow's got no substance, does it? I love Pastor Neville always said he was in primary school. He was so thin, he had to drink black coffee just to throw a shadow. Okay? Shadows has got no substance. Amen? So what does it mean? They were talking about the person of Peter. Get him just as close enough to the person, because of what they carry, something will shift. They started to become aware of what they carry. That as they're close enough that their shadow can touch them, they will be healed. But this is the thing, shadows have no substance, so what's the point? Your shadow releases whatever overshadows you. Come on. Let me say that again. Your shadow releases that what overshadows you. In other words, what do you host? What are you aware of? What are your affections anchored into? That's what Paul says. We could have been so far, but because of your affections, you are restricted. And now he says, if you are self-conscious, all about myself the whole time, you're not going to flow. We all know that a person that's depressed that walks in here, his shadow is going to heal nobody, isn't it? His shadow is going to touch no one. What you become aware of, is that what you're going to release? That's why what God says, if you can become aware, you see, we want to do the Pentecostal thing. We want to anoint this place and we want to pray and we want to do deliverance and rebuke all the devils and all these things. There's a place for that. Instead of sometimes just listening and waiting, become aware of what's here. Because that which you become aware of, you can give. If you can become aware of God's presence, that there's healing in the room, that God wants to do healing, you become aware of that, healing will start to flow. A while back we had a conference and one of the ministers, that first night, usually it goes in a certain way, but God just moved in a different way. And he had to discern and say, we always want this way, but God is moving in a different way, and we had to flow with that. When you become aware of what God wants to do, his power will move. I had a certain picture for this morning that was not the picture. God flows in a different way. We need to follow what God wants. God knows what we need. He gave his spirit to us. Come on. The thing is, when you become so fixated on your own affections, what happens? You become stagnant. You stop flowing. One of the things, it was part of this morning, of one of the words of that inward affections and the word of the blessing. And the word of the lightnings was also a river that flows. A river that flows. That points in our life direction. Oh, that's the word law. I love it. The word law. Jeremiah 31:31, where he says that I will make a new covenant with you. And I will put the law in the hearts, in the innermost parts of man. The word law, one of the pictures is that of a river that flows. Come on, we have the law, you have the spirit, and it needs to flow like a river. The law directs us, points us to Jesus. But when you start to be inwardly concerned about your affections, you stop the flow of God. And when there's no flow, you die, you become stagnant. And we know things that stagnant. Where does the water, if it's stagnant, what happens? Is a swamp flowing? That's the place where all the bugs live, ne? The hojas and the crocodiles and all the things. It's in the swamps because there's no flow. God wants a flow in your life. And he gave his spirit. You know, even sometimes we become so self-absorbed. Sometimes we pray for hours and hours and hours. But it's all about ourselves. Even if you repent, it's like, I'm so bad, I'm so rotten, I'm so dirty. It's still about all yourself. You see, sometimes we do these things. There's no liberty because you're becoming preoccupied with who you are not. Instead of being occupied with who God is. So you're restricted by your affections. And God wants to flow through you. You see, godly affection is where the anointing is released. Jesus had compassion over people and it moved. It says he was moved by compassion. And here's a big idea. He says, guard your affections, protect your affections by guarding your entanglements and your influences. It's like protecting the gate of a city. He says, when you protect the gate, no thief can come in and steal. That's why he says, do not be unequally yoked. Come on. It's probably one of the best known verses in 2 Corinthians. Don't be, and we apply to dating, isn't it? But that passage is not about dating or marriage at all. And this is the thing, this passage has the potential to irritate us actually. Can tick us off a little bit, come on. And that's the sign that we actually need to pay attention. Here's the real problem. Paul comes and he writes, he says, do we understand the problem that he's addressing? Some people in the church weren't very happy with Paul. Come on. Paul confronted them. And while most had repented and now accepted Paul and his authority, there's still people that opposes Paul. And of course, when there's conflict, you're a bit sensitive after conflict. So they're here. But Paul's addressing interpersonal conflict and misunderstanding. That's the true nature of Christian life. We have these things. We go through things. We are challenged. But he says underneath the problem, there's actually a deeper problem. So we say the sin beneath the sin. And that problem causes all sorts of problems. He says, you're not restricted by us. You're restricted by your own affections. What does he say? You see, it's easy to think the problem is with another person or circumstances, isn't it? Same with the speck in our eyes and things. Because it's much easier to keep myself busy looking at your stuff than dealing with my own stuff. But he says you're going to go nowhere if you are restricted, just if you just have all these bad influences and affections. Paul goes a lot deeper. He says, hey, the problem isn't out there. The problem is in here. With us. With your affections. You've got a heart problem. What's the condition of your heart? What's the condition? I love it. One of the things I think, Jock, with you that's, or one of the guys in the team that said, you know, they didn't have a heart for those people, and then God had to start creating a heart. Was it you? One of the guys who mentioned it? Let me tell you something about Pastor Natasha. She didn't have a heart for people. God had to work with her. And God had to do some stuff. You see, sometimes we become emotionally entangled with someone or something that has dampened our affection for the ministry. You see, the problem is never really the problem. Whenever we have conflict or tension or any kind of sin, the problem goes deeper than what we actually think. The real problem is the heart. James 1:13 says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one. But verse 14 says, each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. And then the desire, when it conceives, gives birth to sin. Why? Because he has a chamber. He has a womb for giving birth to things. And if you entertain and allow these affections and these thoughts, that's the place where it's going to give birth to. And he says, then sin, when it's fully grown, gives forth birth to death. So Paul comes, he says, do not be unequally yoked. What does it mean? It's a word picture again. It's a word picture. What happens with believers allow themselves to be entangled with influences that damp their affections for Christ. Deuteronomy 22:10, the Old Testament says this, do not plow with an ox and a donkey together. He says, actually, don't do something. An ox was holy, a donkey was not holy. The ox was a clean animal in ceremonial terms, all right? The donkey was unclean. And he says, don't mix that what's clean with that what is unclean. And he says, from a practical view of point, they've got different temperaments. They being yoked together can only create problems. Two different minds. It's easy enough to understand your affections for God and God's people are compromised by the influences in your life that are unclean. And when you have different ways of looking at the world. You see, Paul's not saying get rid of all your relationships with unbelievers. He says, hey, we are influenced by others. And we should guard those influences. That's what he says. So that your affections are not pulled away from God or God's people. That's what he says. And we tend to think that we're not influenced by others, that we're strong. But we're fooling ourselves. Come on. What does 1 Corinthians 15:33 says? Do not be deceived. He says, bad company ruins good morals. Bad company ruins good morals. You see, our relationships, our influences determine what affections we carry. Who do you hang out with? What's your closest relationships? Maybe it's not people, but a bad habit that you've got a relationship with. Some of us, you've got a relationship with certain habits, certain things that you need to let go of. Come on. What shows are you watching? What books are you reading? What do you follow on social media? All of this will influence your love for Jesus. That's what the Spirit wants to do. The Spirit wants to bring forth life. Spirit wants to bring forth a flow. The Spirit wants to come and take you. It's the connection between the heaven and earth. You see, when there was an altar, what makes the altar alive? An altar just there is nothing. What does fire on an altar signifies? Fire on an altar signifies that there's a sacrifice. There will be no fire if there's no sacrifice, isn't it? So fire in your life, because your life is an altar. Fire in your life signifies that you're continually sacrificing. You're laying down the self. You're laying down your ways so that you can say, Lord, have all of me. Have all of me. It's not in the amount of I've prayed this much, I've fasted this much, I've done this. Just start maybe to surrender totally to the Lord as well. Amen. What is restricting you? What is restricting you? He says, James 4:7, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come on. I said this morning, there's an intense warfare going on. There's so much stuff, so many people. But God has given us the ability to overcome. His Spirit is doing certain things. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Romans 8, come on. It's the same Spirit that lives in us. That will bring life to your mortal bodies. That will bring forth fruit. I love that. I'm sure all of you have seen that thing where it says that the Holy Spirit doesn't make you just dance and sing and shout and all these things, isn't it? The Holy Spirit also makes you shut up and have good fruit and all these things, good temper. All this, isn't it? We always want that side, but the Holy Spirit works to the other side as well. It produces something within us. And God has given us a gift. That's why we have Pentecost. He said, wait for the promise of the Spirit. Because it says, I'm going to go and be with the Father. But the one who I'm sending will be with you always. I love the Passion Translation in Romans speaks of, it's the Holy Spirit that makes His fatherhood real to us. So that by His Spirit we can cry, Abba Father, and we can hear that you are God's beloved. You see, the Holy Spirit comes and He's the one that makes God's fatherhood real in our lives. That brings forth that identity. That brings forth the flow. Do you have a relationship with the Spirit of God? Is there a life-giving Spirit within you? I'm going to pray tonight that God will come and renew. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? 2 Corinthians 6 again. We are the temple of God. As He said, I'll make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out in their midst, be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and then I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you. You shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. He says, earthly fathers were bad. They know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more will your heavenly Father when you ask Him the Spirit? Come on, God just wants to give us, and the Spirit will produce forth a fruit. I want to ask that question that I asked a while back. how much fruit do you have in your life? When you look back, is there any fruit? Again, you see, are you restricted by your affections? Or is there something that God can produce that there's a flow? Is there good fruit in your life? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He produces love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Come on. Perseverance, long-suffering. All these things the Spirit produces within us. If you don't like yourself, maybe you need to go and see what Holy Spirit wants to change in your life, and maybe you've been kicking against that, what He wants to do. You've been going against the flow. Sometimes it's hard. It's not always easy to follow God. But there's a word, there's a proverb that says, following the path of least resistance is what's making men and rivers crooked. Sometimes we have to go against everybody else, the whole flow, the masses, and follow God, follow His Spirit. You see, and this is the thing about His Spirit. He says that even if you're in the wilderness, He will make a highway in the desert. And it shall be called the highway of the Lord, and the unrighteous shall not walk upon it. You see, when you walk with God, He does the things that's unimaginable. He does the supernatural. He does the things that's unthinkable. Come on, I don't know if you are challenged and sometimes you feel like it's just one thing after the other after the other. But the Bible says, many, say many, many, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God saves him out of each one of them. Come on. So it says many are the afflictions. There's going to be many things that opposes us. There's many things that we're going to be challenged. He says, but God saves us out of each and every one of them. Amen. He says, don't be joyful. Don't look at those who are unrighteous and how they quickly gain things. And it's going to last for just a little while. Remain steadfast. Remain faithful. We sang the song, consuming fire, fan the flame. Bible says, don't quench the Spirit. Come on, don't quench the Spirit. Tonight, I want to encourage you to have a look at your heart. What is it that you harbor your affections? Are your affections anchored in Christ? Or what do you allow? What is the things that harbors here that you give birth to? If you want life, start renewing your mind so that you can know what is the will of God, and let the right affections start to flow and give birth to in your life. Become aware. Therefore, he says, don't think of these things, but think of the heavenly things. There where Christ is seated. Come on. Everything that is good and pure and holy and worthy. He says, think about these things. Why? Because as a man thinks, so it becomes. You're going to give birth to those things. It's the same principle, because Jesus says, seed time and harvest. Come on. Seed time and harvest. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. So if there's bad seed in the ground, you're going to have a bad harvest. Is it? All right. Now don't get discouraged about the bad harvest. Just stop sowing bad seeds. That harvest will get rid, will be done in some time. And then keep on sowing the good things and you'll have a good harvest. But it's a principle. So when you don't like what you do, look at what you're sowing and start sowing the right things. And in due season, in time, there will be a good harvest. Amen. I want you to pursue a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That it directs our steps. You see, because our nature is to go astray. He says, like sheep, we all go astray because we all have that nature. He says, but God directs our steps. That's what I love about that, the thunder and the, when God spoke his voice, it's the shepherd drawing us again, bringing authority in our lives, pulling us closer again. But you have to obey. You have to, when you hear the voice, follow what God says. Amen. Who of you are hungry for more of this?
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.